like 196.
Sins were washed away, and my
my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
For our reading in God's Word tonight, please turn to the Gospel of John, again, as was the case this morning. Tonight we'll be reading chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, the book of John, chapter 11. We will be beginning reading in verse 1 and proceeding through verse 45. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. May we all please stand for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly, and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him.
You may be seated. Father, tonight we thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the reading of it. We thank you tonight, Father, for the good singing, and we pray, Lord, for the protection of our saints this week as they travel, and Lord, for our young people as they go out to the desert, that God, you would be with them in protection. Help them, Lord, we pray, that they, as they get out there, they might find there's something more to life than just what they see on the TV. There might be something more to life to them, just what they believe about the Bible. Father, we pray that you'd increase their faith and lift them up in the Spirit. And Father, may they be learned of what it means to be dedicated. And Father, tonight we pray that you bless this message. May it find some places in the hearts tonight to comfort, to console, Lord, to rebuke, and Lord, also pray that it might help us, Lord, to sanctify ourselves closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, tonight, I want you to look at the first couple of verses with me. It says there that there was a certain man named Lazarus, and this fella was loved of God. This fella here had two sisters, and the Mormon church is wrong. These are not the wives of Jesus, as they teach. But the sisters of Lazarus is Mary and Martha. Now, I want you to notice tonight with me that Jesus loved these three people. In verse 5, now it says, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. You know, we get this old thinking that, boy, I wish I was around when the Lord was upon the earth, because there were some great times, and there were. But tonight what we're going to look at is how the Lord loves. And you, I think tonight if you'll stay with me, you'll find that you have to be right with God to enjoy the love of God. Here, Jesus loved these three people. Now what's so interesting about this is Lazarus falls sick. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we don't really stop to realize that this is really a crisis in the family here. Probably Lazarus is the oldest. Mary and Martha are going into him every day, probably taking time and taking turns sitting with him. And they know that he's sick. And this sickness is going to get him, and the only hope they have is to call Jesus. And so they send word to Jesus Christ, and notice how Jesus reacts to it. In verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now that's just like the Lord. There's some of you here tonight, you're petitioning God and praying unto God and asking God for help, and it seems like God is not hearing you. It seems like what we talked about Wednesday night, when God is silent doesn't mean that he's still. But here Jesus Christ doesn't send a reply. Here it seems like he is absolutely still. In fact, he is not making any move at all to get toward the man that he loves. Now you would think if Jesus loved him, that he'd have no greater joy than to go, and but to touch him. Listen, Jesus had such power that he didn't even have to touch him. He just walked in the room and said, "Be healed," and Lazarus would get up and he's all over with. But he chose not to do that. You see, the love of God sometimes is hard for us to understand. And what we're going to look at tonight is that God does allow some things to happen in our lives in a way of suffering that we don't appreciate. I'm sure Mary and Martha were a little confused. I'm sure Mary and Martha were a little put out because they knew that Jesus had the power and they trusted him for it. And yet, as we see the story revealing itself and unveiling, is that Lazarus does die. And then what's so strange about it, as Jesus knows he's going to die, and he doesn't go until after the death. And what makes it even more strange, you look at verse 15 or verse 14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." That's bad enough, but look at verse 15. He says, "And I am glad." What a thing for a Savior to say, for somebody like that, that he loves so much, that he's dead and I'm glad. But notice what he's glad about. "For your sakes, that I was not there, that to the intent ye may believe." You know what Jesus will allow? Jesus will allow people to suffer for other people. People will have to go through some things sometimes, and you don't appreciate it. At least I know I don't. And sometimes after you check your heart and your mind, you make sure everything's right with God, then the conclusion that we come to in the Bible is that sometimes God wants you to go through some things for other people. Jesus Christ let Lazarus die so his 12 disciples could see his power. Now that's wonderful and that's great, but then back to the story of Mary and Martha, they probably didn't appreciate it. In fact, as they come, as Martha is the first one there in verse 21, she kind of comes up and she's complaining, "Lord, have you been here? He would not have died." Then Jesus gets into a little discussion with her and she says, "Lord, I know that if you want, even now he'll rise." She didn't really believe that because Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And yet when Jesus went to raise him out of the dead, she stopped him. And then Mary, when Mary comes up in verse 32, she wanted to make a little complaint. Now Mary, if you want to put them together, Mary had a little bit more spirituality. Martha come up to him and she wouldn't bow down to him. But brother, when Mary come up in verse 22 or 32, it says she fell down at his feet and then she made her complaint. But she was still grieved. It had to be horrible, I would imagine, to see somebody you love to just kind of wane away day by day. And you go in there, and then finally one day you go in there and he's still as he can be, and you check him out and he's dead. That's a grievance, it's a heartache, it's a pain. And some of us, we've experienced that already. And we wonder where the Lord's at. And I'll tell you where the Lord's at. He's in the same place he was when his son was on the cross and he died. You see, in Christianity, and this is a strange thing, is the reason you and I are here tonight and got saved because somebody else suffered for us. The Apostle Paul brings out this fact, and he said this in Philippians chapter 1. He said that because I am in prison, there are other preachers, I'm paraphrasing, that are more bold to speak the word of God. So how did that help them? Well, they saw Paul. They saw Paul how faithful he was. Even when he was in hard times, he held tough and was strong and still did what God wanted him to do, even in the midst of adversity. And these preachers started looking around saying, "Hey, if God can do that for Paul, and we know the power that Paul has, then bless God, I want to be a part of that and do that." So some of the things that you go through may not be for anything in particular other than for something else. There's some things the Bible makes very clear, that God will use some things so other people can get saved. How many here you got saved in the midst of a crisis? Anybody like that here tonight? You were sick, you had a sickness, so forth and so on, and you were maybe went through a hard time in a family relationship or a financial crisis, or your flesh, or an infirmary, something like that, infirmity, and you got saved. You say, "Well, I didn't appreciate that." Yeah, but you know what? It probably was the only way God could get your attention. You know, God will allow that thing. There's three things I found that God wants us to have. Number one, salvation. Number two, and sometimes we don't put enough emphasis on this, it's called spiritual maturity. That is where you mature up in Jesus Christ and quit being a thumb-sucking baby and quit being a complainer and then start standing upon your feet for the Lord and start going through the trials for the Lord and doing it. It's called spiritual maturity. And brother, it hurts sometimes to get that kind of maturity, but again, sometimes that's the only way the Lord can deal with you. And then the third thing is the will of God. He wants that to be accomplished in your life. And again, there are some things that God will just allow in your life that you may not appreciate. Well, we know the end of the story, and it was a glorious end that Lazarus was raised. But let me show you something else. Not only did Jesus Christ allow Lazarus to go through this time of heartache and pain, and no doubt there was some pain, and no doubt Mary and Martha were grieved in how they prayed and asked God and interceded on his behalf and wished that they could just bear some of the pain for him. And yet all the time the Lord said, I'm glad that it happened that way, that my 12 disciples can see what I can do. But notice something else. Look at verse 45. In verse 45, notice what else happened. After Lazarus was raised from the dead, then verse 45 says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. You know, it's an amazing thing. God let his son die on the cross. And then, because he has such a desire for the souls of men, that he might even put you through some things just to get other people to get saved. Isn't that an amazing thing? You say, what kind of God would do that? The only conclusion, if you have any sense at all, is that it's a God that is concerned about the souls of men. That's all you can come to. That he's willing to let that go on and let it go on, that other people may be saved. I don't know how many times I've heard of preachers preaching, giving an invitation at a funeral, only to find two or three people getting saved there. Only finding one time, Brother Jim Modledge preached a funeral, gave an invitation, had over 20 adults get saved. Said, what happened? Well, they saw the fellow that they knew him and so forth and so on, and they were so impressed upon his life. Karen Painter, that comes to church, her dad, 2 weeks ago, one of his good friends passed away, and at the funeral, there was two people there from Falwell's. Wilmington's is her name. The one lady there that does the hand signs, she was up there and her husband, and they did personal work with Karen's dad and led that man to Christ. They said, what happened? It was at a funeral that thing was done. And this fella, I believe he's saved. Brother Ricky and I went by to visit with him the other night. He wasn't home. But I'm not going to let something like that go in vain. I'm going to keep hounding him and keep pressuring him. Get him to come to church. Get him to come through. But you know, there's some things that we can have from God. I want to give you five things tonight that God says we can experience these things. Now, you may ask God for something in prayer, and you're not getting your prayers answered, and you check your life, and your life is what it ought to be, and so forth and so on. I mean, you pray for something from heaven, but you don't get it, but then you pray that you need a job, and you do get it. We all have those kind of things, and maybe you're trusting God for something tonight. I want to give you five things tonight that God promises that we can have every day of our life, and we need to have these things. Number one, the first thing that God promises is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, that all grace abounding to you and I. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Tonight, you need to experience God's grace every day of your life. The second thing that God promises is Romans 8:28, is that we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are calling according to his purpose. We know that tonight. You need to have that ability to see and to understand God working your thing to your good. Now, most Christians, we're so materialistic in America, we think that's a better car, we think it's a better job, a better home, whatever. The good that God works, or the good work that God works, sometimes is a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is much rather to be chosen than silver or gold. The good work that God may do, it may be just that, a good work. I think about this, jailhouse ministry, and how that's turned into a good work from the days of the beginning until now. Hey, there's a good work being done there, but God's had to deal in the hearts of some of the men that go there. God's had to allow some things happen to make men go into that jailhouse and to do things. Hey, what's going on? There's a good work being done. Hey, a good conscience is a good work. Maybe you're going through some things, you don't understand it, and God's trying to purge your conscience and help your conscience. A good understanding. You know what good understanding is? That's spiritual understanding. Listen, if you go out tomorrow and you got four flat tires, do you have spiritual understanding about that? Do you just look at it and say, well, they're only flat on one side, bless God, we'll take care of it and go on, it happened for a purpose? Or do you go out there and say, well, I'm just going to blow the whole thing up, call your boss, I quit, I'm not coming in, and go get drunk? I mean, good understanding is that you look at it and you have a good way to understand the thing. That'll come from Romans 8:28. Another thing is a good report. Have you got a good report among the Christian brethren? You know, one of the best ways to have the good Christian report among Christian brethren is that you're good and faithful, and you can handle some things, you can go through some things, and you come out the other side and you're better off for it. A good report. The Bible says that we can have the good and perfect will of God. The Bible says we ought to have a good warfare. Then the Bible says we ought to be good stewards. So the good work that God does may not come immediately, but we know one thing, if we believe God, that it will come, and He promises it all. The third thing that God promises that we can have is joy. You ought to have joy in your life about some things. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is dependent every time on the condition. But brother, joy is dependent in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the situation. That's joy. The Bible talks about peace. Thank God we can have peace tonight. Are you experiencing some peace as you wait upon the Lord? Then the Bible talks about the hope that we can have. But you know, some Christians never get it right. Some Christians always get it fouled up. They have no grace. You know why they have no grace? Is they have no humility. Tonight, if you have no grace tonight with your Christian brother, if you have no strength from God tonight, then I'll tell you what the problem is. You're a proud individual. You'll never get God's grace. Until you humble yourself, just like when you got saved and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And I want to tell you something. You'll never experience God's grace in your life. Paul said that grace is sufficient for all things, and it strengthened him and it helped him. And Paul was the apostle of trouble. Paul was the fellow that if you read his books, you find out he was in jail more often, torment more often, in perils more often. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, man, he goes down the whole list of what he went through. And then he said upon all that, the cares of all the churches was added to him. And yet in that, Paul said, I take pleasure. I take pleasure in my infirmaries. Say, how can a man do that? He was humble enough to bow before God and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. That's humility tonight. That'll give you the grace of God. Some Christians don't get the work of God, a good work in their life, because they don't love God. If God's not working it out to your good tonight, I'll tell you the problem is you don't love Him. And the way you don't love Him is you don't obey the Word of God. Jesus still says it, and it's true, in John 14:13, if any man love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. If you're going to love God tonight, the proof is in the pudding. You keep this book. And when this book says you ought to have joy and peace, brother, you allow joy and peace to come in your life. Then some Christians don't have any joy. I'll tell you why most Christians don't have any joy is because they're quitters. I've never seen a quitter yet and I have any joy. You know the best place to find the definition of joy is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross. You know what the opposite of having no joy is? Being a quitter and being a compromiser. I want to tell you tonight that the joy that you can experience is the joy that helps you endure some things. Again, joy is not happiness. Joy is the thing that helps you endure and go on. And you'll never have the joy tonight, you're a quitter. I don't know about you, but there's three things in life that I hate, and I don't ever want to do it. I know I've said them before, but just to remind you what they are. Number one, I don't like a liar. Number two, I don't like a thief. And number three, I do not like a quitter. Those things bother me. If I'm in a room and I know the guy's a thief or a liar or a quitter, then brother, I'll get up and take my marbles and go play somewhere else. You say, why is that? I've had more trouble from a liar. You know what a liar will do to your life? He'll cause you much trouble. You know what a thief will do to you? He'll cause you much trouble. Listen, you know what a quitter will do for you? He'll cause you much trouble. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but oh, we had some great generals in World War II, and I think the best one that had the news media was old George Patton. Patton had the news media because he was controversial, and that's what the news media liked. One day, Patton went down through the Third Army, and he saw one of those old quitters down there, and he saw this fellow with his leg blown off. He saw this fellow with one eye. He saw this guy all bandaged up. And then he saw one fellow completely in uniform just sitting there. He said, son, he said, what's your problem? And the kid looked up at him. He said, well, I'm shell-shocked. He said, you're shell what? He said, I'm shell-shocked. He says, what does that mean, son? He says, well, I'm scared. He said, you're scared? He said, son, you're not scared. You're a quitter. He said, you need to get out of the army and get out of here. I won't have my men have a man in here with such brave men that took the battle and took the heat. You're a quitter. He said, I ought to shoot you myself. And he reached more than 45 pearl-handled pistols, and he had it out and had it cocked, and the doctor stopped him, but he was going to shoot the guy. Say, why? He probably wounded him so he'd fit in. You see, in battle, you don't want to be around a quitter. David one time looked out and he saw two men running. The first man come, he knew that guy was nothing but a quitter. He knew his testimony, and when he come up to make the report, David said, you sit over here. And the second man coming didn't run that fast, but he knew this guy here loved God, and when he come up, he heard his report. Say, David was a commander. He didn't like a quitter. He didn't like a man with a bad testimony. And I'm telling you tonight, if you have absolutely no joy in your life, it's because you've quit on God. You might as well just raise up, get up, and put the battle on, because you're going to fight it either way. If you quit on God, you'll fight the devil. And if you quit on the devil and fight God, you'll have a battle. You might as well fight in the direction that God promises. All the devil promises you in this world, and listen to me, young people, all he promises you is a little pleasure for a little time. A little pleasure for a little time. And you'll have happiness, you'll experience some wonderful things, but the payday comes someday, and you'll have to pay for what you have. But brother, I'll tell you what, tonight, the joy that God gives, and it's not like some of these people say, I'm happy, M-H-A-P-P-Y, I'm happy, happy, happy. Brother, it's some people that just go through the stuff. We got a lady that's coming here to church. I tell you, this lady blesses my soul. She didn't make it tonight, but that lady's got four youngins. And they're living down here on the beach in a little old trailer. And Brother Ricky and I went by there, and she's got a husband. He was vulgar, wasn't he, Ricky, when we went up to him? He's kind of a vulgar old guy. And he doesn't love God. I don't know if he's saved. I don't know anything about him. But I know this. Every time she gets up, she takes him, and she's got one in diapers. Puts them kids in a car, and buddy, she comes to the house of God. Say, what does that do for you? Well, as a Christian, if you're fighting a battle, that ought to bless your heart. Amen? You see somebody fighting a battle like that and going through the battle, that ought to do something to you, because that'll help you. That'll pick you up. You know what helps in a battle? Listen, in Germany, and I know I speak a lot about Germany, but Germany did a lot of wild things in World War II. They took on a country, and they were outnumbered 2-1. Germany's no bigger than Oregon, and they had a kill ratio of 8-1. And you know what them Germans did? Them Germans stood up one day and they bowed to the Führer. You know what the Führer means? It means Savior. And they said, we'll die for the motherland. And brother, they did that. They died. You know why they died like that? Because they believed what they were dying for was worth having. And you know what they were? They would encourage one another about dying for the country. Listen, you and I, as God's people, we need to make sure that we're living for God. And I mean, going through some things, but brother, go through them. And you never know but who's looking, who's watching. That'll help you, man. That'll bless your heart when you look around and see somebody really under the gun, really having a hard time, and they go through the battle. Man, it ought to lift your soul up and say, bless God, that's good, because that fellow loves God, and God's blessing, God's helping, and it's worth it all. Amen? It ought to be. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. The reason you quit on God is you don't trust God. You say, well, it takes courage and it takes strength. No, it doesn't. All it takes is just putting God first in your life. You can't get any glory out of what you endure. Because if you're enduring it, you know where your strength comes from. It comes from God. You know, it's not this John Wayne macho Elvis Presley type thing that you stand up and say, I got big muscles, I can go through it for God. The Bible says when God looks for a man, he doesn't look at his strength, he doesn't look at his might. He looks upon his heart, and that's where he helps him out at. Anybody that goes through the battle, it's never your own strength that gets you through it. That's the first thing you realize. It's through God. Then some people say something, well, you're fighting a battle, and you know the truth. You can't take any glory, because you know half the time God drug you through it. That's how it works out all the time. But don't be a quitter. It's never right to quit. There's been so many people quit in their marriages, and so many people quit in their churches, and so many people quit their jobs and quit. Don't be a quitter. Learn what it is to enjoy and endure and go on for God, and find out what them martyrs found out years ago, that they weren't going to quit for God. Notice something else. Peace. You say, preacher, I don't have any peace. I don't have any peace. I'll tell you why you don't have any peace about what you're going through, is you don't have any thanksgiving to God. And brother, that's hard sometimes. It's hard to bow your head and say, God, I'm thankful for what you're doing in my life. Although I cannot see the end, I'm thankful. Brother, say, what will that do for you? It'll give you a peace that you cannot understand, and that's what God promises. God promises that he'll give you a peace that you cannot comprehend with your mind, you cannot comprehend with your heart. It's there, you experience, and you're to let it rule in your life. And if you don't have that tonight, you check it out, you're not thankful for what God's doing. Brother, you show me somebody that's thankful, and I'll show you somebody that's got peace, and I'll show you can't keep a good man down like that. I'll give you something else tonight. Some people have no hope. They have no hope tonight. And we live in a world that gives them no hope. Listen, they told me the other day that the doctors gave up on the common cold. They said, we've searched it, we've torn it apart, we've checked and checked and checked, we've checked Anacin, Advil, Excedrin, we've done survey after survey, we've had doctors included in this, we've had hospital after hospital, and the final analysis is we cannot cure the common cold. So guess what, folks? You're going to get a cold this year sometime, somewhere, and there's nothing they can do Now, thank God for Anacin and Advil and all that stuff and Alka-Seltzer Plus and all that kind of good stuff and grandma's little remedies that you can put down your throat and help you out. But when it comes right down to it, the world can't even give you help for the common cold. What do you think they're going to do for your joy and for your happiness and for you? It's not going to work. They have no hope that they can give you at all. The Bible says that our hope is steadfast, sure like an anchor. Oh, Brother Rocky comes, and I had the privilege of going out on his boat and try to go skin diving. And I'm not much for the sea or anything like that, but I enjoyed the experience. And old Rocky told me, he said, you know, when it gets real rough, a man's got to make his money out there. And what he does is he lets his anchor down. And that old waves are moving and rough like that. And Brother Ricky can contest to it. He went out there and tried to get in those waves. Pretty rough, wasn't it, Ricky? Old Rocky, he had to make money. You know what he does? He jumps over the side and goes down on the anchor line. And it keeps him straight and sure. He gets down there and he anchors off the anchor line. He picks up all the urchins that he gives and he comes back up the anchor line. Say, how does that help him? It's a sure, steadfast hope that he has that when he gets up there, there's going to be a boat waiting for him, somebody to help him out. That's what our hope is. Our anchor is steadfast and sure in heaven. And it's a straight line from our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and the throne of glory. And it's steadfast and it's sure. And listen, that's the hope we have tonight. But if you don't have any hope tonight, let me tell you something. The problem is you have no faith tonight. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen tonight. Do you have those things tonight? Listen, can you really and truly understand tonight that some people go through some things just because the Lord wants them to go through it? And we go through it by blind faith, but yet we understand, according to the Bible, that the Lord let some things happen in the lives of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And you know, sometimes people go through them. I don't know how many times I've went through some things and didn't do it the right way. Just kind of got bitter and mad and looked at the whole thing and kind of kicked and fought and made a big thing about it. And the Lord cannot deny himself. It certainly wasn't my faith that got me through it. But all after I got through it, I saw how easy and how sweet it worked out. And then I saw the purpose and the benefit. And you know what? I felt like a complete heel. I said, why did you feel like a heel? Because if I just hang tough and trusted God all the way, boy, what a joy and what a measure of faith that had been for me to look back and say, hey, the Lord was there all the time. All the time he was there. Now tonight, folks, listen, we and I ought to know that there are some things we need to go through for. Take your Bible, I close with this verse. Find 2 Corinthians. There's a reason why we ought to go through some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 10, probably one of the hardest verses there is to preach on. Some of the hardest things you're going to find in life is how to minister to others. Some of the hardest things, lessons you're going to learn is that this world is not your home, but that you have a home in heaven. And we have a body, and we groan for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 10. Paul says, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproach, necessities, persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. You know, sometimes God just wants you to suffer for his son, for his name's sake. You know what happens when a Christian goes through the fire, and he goes through it the right way? Is people take notice of that. You know what the world needs to see today? After all this televangelism, after all this phony baloney that the world has experienced, and all this high finance, and all this immorality, and all this exposure of preachers falling in sin, you know what the world needs to see today? It needs to see Christians that can do it the right way. Christians that do it for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will unnerve the world. The world has no place for that because they look at it and say, how in the world can that guy go through it? Or how in the world can that sister be so faithful with so many kids? And how in the world can a church go through what they go through? How in the world can God expect us to do it? It becomes real to you after a while. And learning to go through it just for Jesus' sake tonight, that'll help you tonight. That'll work with you. That'll do something for you. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, tonight we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for the blessings and the blessings upon our lives, God. Father, tonight we pray that you'd help and give us grace and strength. Father, thank you for these five things that we can have. We can have your grace. We can have a good work done. Father, we can have the joy. Father, we can have that wonderful hope. And Father, we can have that wonderful peace. And God, tonight, maybe there's some Christian here tonight that are going through some hard times and they don't have any of these things. And Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to their hearts and show them that, Lord, the reasons why they don't have them is due to their pride, no love for God. Lord, they're not trusting you. Father, they have no thanksgiving in their heart, and Father, they have no faith in thee. Father, help tonight. I know there's some Christians here tonight that, Lord, they're hurting, and they got some problems. Lord, they either got problems with their family, their finances, or their flesh. And so, Father, tonight we pray that you would help us to do business with thee. Father, we pray that you would minister what we've learned tonight to our hearts. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, you're here and maybe you'd like to do business with God. Maybe tonight there's something you need to get settled with God. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You'd like to get saved. There's no better place to do it, no better time than right now. Now is the acceptable time. Anybody here tonight, you'd like to be saved? Just slip your hand right up. Slip it right back down. Anybody at all? Maybe tonight you're here and you'd like to do business with God about this thing of sanctifying yourself and drawing close to Him. Maybe tonight you've got some problems in your life and it seems like God is not listening to you. Maybe you feel like Mary and Martha, that nothing is being done tonight. Well, listen, you can rest assured God's doing something tonight. But tonight you're not experiencing His grace and a good work and His hope, His peace, His joy. Maybe tonight you just say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need some help tonight." Anybody like that tonight? Just slip your hand right up, slip it right back down. God wants to help you tonight. God wants to bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, tonight I'd like to make a decision to take my stand for Jesus Christ. Tonight I'd like to just join up, become a part of this assembly. Tonight I'd like my name to be put down, but I want to be a part of this work tonight." You're that way tonight? Why don't you just slip your hand up, slip it right back down. Anybody at all? Tonight you say, I need some things in my life. I need to be obedient. Maybe I need to be baptized. Why don't you slip your hand up and get that thing taken care of tonight? You need something done with God tonight? It's up to you. I just want to try to be a help to you. There's some things that we can experience in our life every day, every time. Would you like to do that tonight? Would you like to have that tonight? Rich blessings to bestow. Five blessings tonight that God wants to give a Christian: His grace, His good work, His joy, hope, and the peace. Are you having those things tonight? If not, you ought to find out why. It's a shame if you come tonight and didn't get something from God. And you get up and go out this back door tonight and you face a whole week of disobedience because when God told you to do something, you didn't do it. I dare say your life this week won't be what it ought to be. There are some things that can only take place in the house of God. And after the preaching of God, you make a decision to do right, you'll find that things go a lot better. Anybody here tonight? We've already had one say, I need to make a decision tonight. Anybody else tonight say, "Preacher, I need to make a decision tonight to draw close to Jesus. And preacher, I want to be on the side and experience the blessings of God in my life." They're conditional. They're conditional. Anybody else? Just raise your hand up. We're going to close in prayer. But they're conditional tonight. You got to know that. You're here. Everything's sound. Everything's sure with spirituality. Then it's up to you. God stands ready and able to help you. And today, now is the time. Our Father, we thank you for your mercy. We pray that you would bless. Thank you tonight, God, for the moving of your love and your work in our hearts and our minds. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I may have your attention for a minute. Brother Tim Brown has been saved for a while. He got baptized, and then tonight he said, "I want to join the church." So he's presenting himself tonight as a member, a candidate for membership. And if you're in favor of him joining the assembly, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand together. As we stand, let's be dismissed. And then afterward, would you come by and extend? Stay right here, brother, if you would. You ain't getting away now. Extend the right hand of fellowship to him and just tell him how glad you are that he's a part of us and that he wants to join up with us. That's good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Father, again, thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.